Hi, everyone. This is Aaron, and you are listening to the Sound Words Podcast. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that SOLA Conference 2020 is coming soon on March 27th through 28th at Evergreen Baptist Church of SGV. The theme is Reconciled, and registration with early bird pricing opens on December 1st. Kim Kira, Charlie Dates, and Owen Lee will be speaking, and Jimmy Needham will be leading us in singing. Check out our conference page on the SOLA website, and I'll put that link as well as some more promo materials in the show notes. Today's podcast guest is Hannah Chow, and in this episode, we talk about Sujin Park's article, A Letter to My Complementarian Brothers, what it takes for an article to become popular, Hannah's earlier writings, and what God has recently been teaching us. Thanks for listening. Hannah, November was a crazy month for SOLA Network. Don't you think so?
Yes, it was crazy. We hit 100,000 page views for the year.
Are we allowed to give out our numbers like that?
It is now. I have said it, and then it is out there. And now we'll know who listens to our podcast. They'll be the ones on Facebook being like, whoa, can you get the latest numbers?
Yeah, so tell me about those numbers. Why is that such a significant number to us?
You know, as a network that wants to empower and platform, you know, Asian Americans, you know, we want to reach as many people as possible. And so last year, I think in the whole year, we had just under 80,000 views. So to have 100,000 views in the middle of November is like a big thing. It shows that we're growing, and hopefully, you know, it'll just continue to be on that upswing.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but, you know, I wasn't with you guys last year. So I don't know if there's a correlation. You know, I wrote some articles for you, started helping out with some social stuff.
Did quite a few clicks, and our Instagram page, if you're not on Instagram, got to check out our cool little graphics that Aaron puts up, 100%.
Oh, you're kind, Hannah. but seriously, yeah, no, I it's fun to be doing this, but, you know, I can see the numbers too. And one article really took off for us, and that was Sujin's article. A letter to my complementarian brothers is what it was, mm-hmm. right? We're trying to line up a podcast with her later, but why don't you tell me a little bit about your side of the story and how'd you get in touch with her?
Yeah. So, you know, all on Twitter and, you know, Facebook, people have been kind of talking about this, about John MacArthur and his kind of beef, I guess, with Beth Moore. This overall debate about complementarianism in the church. And as I was just, you know, looking around, seeing people's opinions, Pastor Owen, who's one of our council members, he reposted this long, it wasn't, you know, just like a string of thoughts. It was composed, but it was a reflection that a woman at his church had written. And I was like, wow, this is really good and thought out and gentle. And so I asked Pastor Owen on Facebook, hey, like, would you mind connecting us? I'd love to talk to her and better to contribute this. And so he was more than happy to. So Sujin and I connected over email, and I just told her, hey, like, take it where you will, you know, just make it into more of an essay. Cause hers was a little more directed towards just the people she knew. Pastor, you know, broaden out a little bit, and just let me know, you know, when you're done. And I didn't want to give her a hard deadline or anything. I think there was one night where she's like, I'm just going to do it. And she just did it and sent it to me like a few, maybe 5 days after I first asked her. And
wow.
I'm not going to lie, it was really good. Granted, she already had a really great rough draft. This is more of like a second or even third draft. And so I just went in and helped her clarify some things, clean some things up. But, you know, so much of that was just all of her thinking and processing, and you can really see the thoughtfulness that she put into both her words and her arguments and her words.
And that's crazy. Wait, so basically you saw it through Pastor Owen then? Like, this wasn't a submission. Pastor Owen wasn't even directing it towards you.
Nope.
You just saw it.
Yeah, and I think that's the power of, you know, the internet, is you can really learn about people who you don't know. And I think that's the power of SOLA too, right? Expand that not just within, you know, just a few social circles, but onto a much wider platform on the internet.
Did the article resonate with you personally?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think especially her first point on, you know, it's just because it's biblical doesn't mean it's easy for a woman to be a complementarian. I think that is the cry of so many women's hearts who are complementarian or are part of complementarian communities, where we understand the arguments, we see them, and we might even want to submit to them, but because of the brokenness within ourselves, within our brothers, within the world, it's so hard to believe. And so I think that truly did resonate with a lot of women within our church, or our church as a whole.
Yeah. Well, were you planning to write something on it, Hannah?
Actually, I wasn't. We talked about it a little bit within our editorial board, like if someone wanted to talk about it. But then no one was really wanted to just jump in on it yet. We were looking at some outside blogs and things like that. That's when I saw her article, and I was like, this is great. She's in seminary. She wants to learn more about the word. But also, you know, she is in a complementarian context, and as a woman, you know, and I think I do think it's important for men to defend women, but I think it's important for women to have a voice as well. So I thought it was a great piece.
Yeah. Do you see Sola as maybe providing that opportunity to women? Because I know other, I guess, platforms, Gospel Coalition, Design God, they do have women authors, but I feel like Sola, we have quite a lot, I think.
Of females?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I really try to think about. I mean, granted, most of our contributors tend to be male because I have a lot of pastor friends who I can just kind of ask, and they do a lot of thinking and writing already. And I think it's awesome to see, you know, women with strong voices who are sharing, you know, from Sujin to, you know, we have Heidi Tai writing for us, and we've had, you know, recently we reposted Tia Kim's article on child of divorce, don't fear marriage. And honestly, I think according to our analytics, I think a little more than half of our audience is actually female. And so I think it is important to really have those voices be heard and nurtured and grow. And I think, yeah, that is something. And even in our roundups, I know, Aaron, you try to make it a point to include women thinkers and authors. And I think that's a really great way for us to have those voices heard and, you know, affirm the value of women.
Right. And, you know, specifically for those Friday roundups, you know, I'm looking for Asian American authors, you know, even when articles talk about Asian American issues, I'm hoping that they're written by Asian American authors too. What I like about Sola is that we do have like a list of contributors, I think. So I'm getting to know the voices of these women. You know, it's not just random women. I'm starting to get to know like more, I think, of what they're thinking, especially with some of the more frequent contributors like Heidi. Yeah, and of course, your voice too, Hannah.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I try to write, but I've got to say, there's a reason why I like editing. It's a lot more scary. because I think with writing, the thing that stops you from writing is always fear.
Yeah.
But then with editing, you have to just be merciless. And so that's always easier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hannah, you bring up a good point about you being the editor. I feel that I want to take advantage of you being like a professional editor here, and I have you on the podcast. I think I want to ask you more pointed questions about like what it takes to be a writer. I feel like you have a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. And I guess now is the perfect time to start with this type of question too, because Sujin's article did blow up. What does it take for an article to become popular like that?
First off, I'm just going to say this. No one knows.
It's a secret. It's a mystery. It's like,
you have certain ingredients, right? And you just try to find the right amount of each, and you throw it into this mystery box called the algorithm. Shake it up.
Yeah.
And then you send it out to the internet, and then you just hope. I do think Sujin's article does have a lot of the things that tend to work. So one is that it's written well. It's written in a style that's conversational. It's not too long. And conversational, it's not trying to have a lot of jargon. It's very personal. A lot of internet writing, it tends to be a little bit more personal when you, so that's one. Another one is it's timely. It's responding to something, Christian current event, right?
Yeah.
And then third, I think it's an Asian, it's not an Asian, it's a woman issue, right? But like, it's an issue that is I wouldn't say controversial, but it is a little bit, you know, like, oh, like, what is she going to say? Like, it's like, it's that little like mystery factor. So I think those kinds of things, the current events, it's a little bit controversial and then it's written well. Those things coming together can really be powerful in the right way. And then it just goes, it just flies.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel that like we've had like current event articles, but for some reason, this one really took off. Is that just like the secret ingredient that you're talking about? Like,
So a couple things, I mean, other things that I thought about, you know, so another article that did well, that was a current event article, was Pastor Harold's interview where he talked about Joshua Harris.
Right.
So that one did pretty well too. And then PJ Tobian the next day wrote another pretty viral article on Kanye.
And
that also went viral. But I do think that the Complementarian article was a little bit more controversial. Again, not controversial, but a little more like piquing people's interest because it was on such a hot button issue in the Christian sphere and then written by a woman. Right. And then also, I think when people read it, both men and women were both, well, women in particular felt heard and very like it was expressing feelings and thoughts that they had but couldn't articulate. And for men, I think it wasn't a very, it was because it was written in such a posture of like, of a letter and of a plea and gentleness, they were, so many more were able to receive it. And I think because it was written that way, people were willing to share it. If it were a little more angry, a little more harsh, then people might read it, be affirmed or have feelings and then not share it. But something like this, it means that people were sharing it on either people's walls, they were texting it to each other or whatever. And and it just snowballed from there.
Okay. So let's pretend that I'm a struggling writer, or I don't know, I'm like a beginning writer. Should I be looking for these controversial things to be writing about?
So you can, but I think the danger with controversial articles is that it's very easy to make a rash, have a rash stance. Right? I think one thing I really appreciate about PJ's article on Kanye was that he waited until the initial wave was over. And like, you know what? The thing I'm not seeing is the conversation about Kanye in the local church. Like, I'm not seeing that. I hope and pray that he is a believer. I celebrate his, you know, his faith, his proclamation, but you know, where's the local church in this? I think that's one. And I think another one is, you know, with controversial topics, I think the reason why people shy away from them, you know, other than hot takes, is because they are hard. Writing a controversial topic, I think, is actually the hardest thing. I would say if you're a struggling writer and you want to be read, I would actually just try writing non-controversial articles, maybe like just to practice, like, can I make a well-informed, reasoned opinion? Just with like, you know, like how to start a prayer, how to have a good prayer life.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you can write that well, then yeah, maybe you can talk about, you know, egalitarian versus complementarian, you know, or like the church's role in politics. But I think once you can have a full command. So yeah, if you're a struggling writer, I think another way actually is just to bring up questions. I think sometimes bringing in solutions can make it really hard to write and have people read your things. But asking questions to help other people think of questions can be really good.
I do want to talk about, you know, the more the controversial stuff. Okay. So let's say that, you know, I do want to write about something. How much time should pass before I make a decision or have a stance or a viewpoint?
So I think the quicker, the earlier you write, after a controversial event, the shorter and more gracious it should be.
That's really good.
I think that's like, that would be my thing. Like, just because you don't have all the facts, right? It's, and you don't have the opportunity to process. So it would have to be short and gracious. And then the longer you wait, the more long and pointed it could be. I think, yeah, the earlier articles, especially, should just ask questions. Urge caution, but also hope. For example, again, I don't know what the controversy is, but for some things it might not be hope, I guess. But,
sure. Yeah.
And I think of all of these things, all of these controversial articles, it has to be things where is this in light of the gospel, in the hope we have in Christ? Where do we fall? And I think that's, again, great things that, you know, Pastor Harold's interview, PJ's article, Sujin's article are, you know, all of them eventually go, hey, like, in light of Christ, where do we stand? And if we can all agree that we stand on the gospel, then no matter where people are on this spectrum, we can agree on that, right? The importance of the church, the worth of women, right? Supporting our pastors. Like, these are all things we can agree on.
Right. Wow. Let's go to the non-controversial then.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah. Let's go to the non-controversial. Hannah, what kind of articles did you write when you were a beginning struggling writer? Were you ever struggling?
No, everyone struggles. I mean, I try to block out the early ones, but I think in the beginning, I tried to do a lot of explainer articles.
Oh, okay.
That way, especially if explaining like controversial things, because then I'm not taking a stance per se, but still trying to talk about it and have a conversation around it. So for example, an article that talked about Christianity and politics and why Christians who all profess Christ, why are they so opposed on certain social issues or economic issues or whatever. So for example,
sounds hardcore actually. it was, but
basically, like, for example, I said that, you know, some Christians believe that there's very little common grace. Like, there's common grace, but very little. While others believe there's a lot of common grace. And if you have Christians who believe those two different things, they're going to view the world in two different ways. And that's why they be different. So that was one. Another one I did was about the Billy Graham rule. Do you know what the Billy Graham rule is?
I do know the Billy Graham rule.
Listeners who don't know, basically, it's the idea that a man and a woman shouldn't be alone in a room together unless they're husband and wife. And I said, so I explained the rule and I said the pros and cons of the Billy Graham rule and how... and things like that. And I kind of, my stance was a little more like, hey, the Billy Graham rule is a little bit too legalistic. I get it. But, you know, like, I kind of slipped that at the end. So a little bit, but things like that. I think explaining things is a good way to get started in writing.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't get as many clicks per se, because, you know, there people, if they're just not interested in the topic, they won't click on it. If they know about it, they might not click on it, but it's really good to get yourself to explain things concisely, easily, interestingly, all those things.
Yeah, man. Well, that's so many more topics we need to talk about. We need to talk about, should I be looking for the clicks, you know, and like, should I have a hard stance every time, you know, even assuming time has passed. But we can talk about that later, I guess. I do want to hear more about your beginning writing days too. Did you have a Tumblr?
Actually, growing up, I did a lot of live journaling.
Oh, live journals. Okay.
I was like anti-Zanga because I thought the Zanga was too Asian.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. I could never get on board with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was on LiveJournal. I was on Tumblr for a bit, but by that time, I realized I just wasn't a good blogger. I'm a better like topical writer. I realized.
I see.
LiveJournal, that was my jam back in the day.
Does it still exist? Can I go find it? Can I link to it in the show notes?
I don't think it does. Isn't LiveJournal gone, or it's just bought out by some company? I don't know. We'll find the archive in like.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we'll do a walk down memory lane for Hannah Child articles. Hannah, what have you been learning recently? What has God been teaching you, and has it caused you to want to write anything in particular?
You know, I think one thing God has taught me is to not expect or settle for less. In for example, like for Sola, you know, I was like a good article will have like, you know, X amount of reads, and then just like kind of, but if we work hard and we find, and you know, everything aligns, you know, God can bring 5,000 people to read an article and, you know, blow my mind, you know?
It's true. It's true.
But also even in, I think, ministry with church, you know, our church is, you know, it's trying to grow and, you know, deeper and breadth, length, all that stuff. And I think part of the thing that we do to kind of make ourselves feel safe is like, expect this much. Oh, like our congregation can only handle this much. Their spirituality is only up to here, so we can only give them that much. But what if we could expect more from God and more from our congregation and really pour into them with more resources? Then you don't know like how much they could grow and things like that. So I think for me, you know, sometimes we're going to expect a lot and nothing will happen, and that's okay because we trust in God. I think if we expect a lot and God gives it to us, then that's just amazing. And so
No, that's really deep, Hannah. Are you gonna write about that in your newsletter?
No, I think that's something that I need to ponder more, and then I'll write about a newsletter.
Okay.
Although, I guess I'll say it to keep myself accountable. I am trying to write a newsletter about the Enneagram.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Very basics.
Yeah.
A few cautions.
Okay. Okay.
Like the new, you know, it's the new personality test sweeping through many churches right now.
Yeah. I don't really know what it is. So I'm going to have to read your article.
Yeah. 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 So it'll be a little explainer like we talked about.
Yeah. Good.
Explaining things.
Yeah. Good. 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 Oh, did you want to talk about your Parasite article? That was just released today, so the night we're recording this.
So it's a little bit of a niche article because Parasite is, you know, it's got like a lot of rumblings, but it's not like a super blockbustery film. But I highly encourage everyone to watch Parasite, a Korean language film by Park Chung-ho, who also made the movies Snowpiercer and Okja, which had were released in America. Yeah, it's just about the class struggle and the divide between the rich and the poor in South Korea. But I think that for a lot of children of immigrants whose parents escaped those kinds of environments that are very hierarchical, and also for Christians who, you know, we are very comfortable living in our own little bubbles. It was a good challenge to me. It was a reflection for me of how, and I guess it's in the title, right? Who wants to be poor? And you can read the article to figure out who does want to be poor.
And I did read the article. I thought it was great. Yeah. Unfortunately, I haven't seen the movie yet. I actually haven't seen many movies recently. Well, I did see Okja. I love that movie. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. But I do plan to watch Parasite. What I do now is I read movies on Wikipedia. So I was able to track along with your article. But
great.
It was really good, Hannah. I really appreciate. I hope you do more of these movie ones. I know you did the Crazy Rich Asian one.
I did The Farewell.
Yeah, The Farewell. Yeah, I think you found your niche, Hannah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Shout out to Brett McCracken, who's like the culture editor at
TGC Gospel
Coalition. And he's been really encouraging to me. I get to bounce ideas off of him. He's definitely the one who told me to write about it. He's like, it's going to be in the Oscar race. So you publish it, people will find it. And I was like, all right, Brett.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you did it. I'm glad you did it. Yeah, it should be there. Yeah. Hannah, recently I've been learning about, or I guess God's been teaching me about what it means to be content in all circumstances, or I guess I should say be thankful in all circumstances. This past weekend, I preached a sermon in our children's worship, and it was on that passage, 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so that's kind of what I've been thinking through. I'm going to present the same sermon, except give it in like a Sunday school format this Sunday. So I'm going to repurpose that. But yeah, God's been teaching me a lot about that. And I, you know, when I'm preparing those sermons or Sunday school lessons, I'm writing it out. And I found that writing's a really good way to prepare for these things instead of just going up and trying to make it on my mind.
Yeah, writing shows you where the holes are.
Yeah.
Just like fall through.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, seriously. So I do appreciate your writing tips, because I feel like because I've worked with you and I kind of know your editing style a little bit, it helped me edit my sermon, really pare it down. Yeah.
That's the hope, that I'm just in your head constantly. So I can do less work.
It's true. Yeah, no, it's true. I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, Hannah is going to want this from me, or she would say this, so I'm going to fix this. But you know, that passage is about, you know, kind of being more thankful in like the bad situations, you know, but I guess for all circumstances, we could apply it to anything. Mm-hmm. And so, Hannah, I'm really thankful that God brought you and me together in this circumstance of Sola. Like, never would I have imagined that I'd be working with you. And I'm really thankful that God brought us together to do this.
I'm thankful as well, Aaron. This is awesome. I'm really enjoying our partnership and our podcast and our writing. Everything's fun.
It's been a really fun year, and I'm excited to see what's next. But I guess we still have one more podcast episode to come in December. So if anybody's listening to this, send us some questions. Send Hannah all your live journaling questions, and she'll be able to answer them. Just send us an email. I'll put the link in the show notes.
Thanks, Aaron. Have a good night.
Thanks, Hannah. Good night.